This program was first broadcast on Tauroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening. I'm Calvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program. And we've been doing some aspects of exploring the Bible for people that may have an interest in that, in the Word of God, that have a feeling of the creators of this wonderful universe. And sure, we believe, the Christadelphian believes, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And it set down a plan and a purpose with this whole earth and mankind upon it. We believe in a creator, as the Genesis account records, how things were created. We don't believe in the theory of evolution. It's impractical. It doesn't work. There's no evolution taking place. There are different aspects of change in small things due to mutations and several other things, but most of them, or 99.9%, are detrimental, whereas the evolution theory has changed, getting improving. But we believe clearly in the Genesis account, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself says that, do you not remember that he made them male and female in the beginning? Anyway, God has a wonderful plan with mankind in this earth. There's no doubt about that. And it is things are happening in the world today that are leading to that time of such a catastrophe that mankind will not be able to sidestep, to negotiate, to do things, but it will be an intervention by the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming to put things in order and establish that a kingdom of God on earth that he spoke about when he told his disciples, when he taught them how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will to be done on earth. And that's right, and that will take place. But anyway, you could log on to this at www.findthelight.org, or for any other aspects of our belief and understanding what we believe is true and correct in the scriptures, or you get a repeat on www.taroaradio.co.nz, or myself, Calvin Lyon, Adi 2 Y Tatty, 9085 New Zealand, 03 4822 698. Now there are some other websites: www.antipass.org, www.pioneerchristadelphians.org, or www.biblesays.org.nz. So there you are. There's plenty of things to check up to see if I'm telling porkies or I'm on the line here. And if you're having queries or you misunderstand something, or I might have said something that you didn't think was right, or you want a bit of clarification, log on to www.findthelight, or we'll help you out on any of those different aspects of understanding. Righty-ho. Tonight, we are actually just touching on a few things because we haven't time to do it all, but we worked through the work of John the Baptist last fortnight, and now we're on to the life and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of it. Oh, I think even the Apostle Paul said if he had to write everything down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world for him to do it. But anyway, we've got some notes here and brief summary of the life and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born about the year, I know we come from there, BC 4, really, it seems to be. And he was about 30 years before he was baptized of John the Baptist, and then he starts his ministry. He has a discourse on the mountain, on the Mount of Olives. He's teaching to people. Then we have 3 years of his ministry, events of the Lord Jesus Christ, right through until Jerusalem when he comes up and he's taken captive and crucified. He is the Lamb of God. He's promised from the beginning, way back in the scriptures in the world, from when sin entered into the world. It was quoted there that the Lord God would, someone would come eventually. It's in Genesis 3:15. I'll tell you what, I'll read exactly that. Now, this is after Adam had sinned and been punished there. And it says there in 3:15, this is when the punishments were going through. And then he says, God says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And this is where he said, I'll put enmity between thee, that is the serpent. So I thought I'd better go back to that verse just to clear it up for you, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. So the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent. That is a fatal bruise, that thou should bruise his heel. Jesus, in a sense, was bruised in the heel, that he was crucified, but he did not stay dead because of the goodness and the righteousness of God, and he obeyed God in all points, and he had raised him from the dead. As an example, as a proof, that he is the first fruits of them that slept. So we have to relate ourselves through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go through the scriptures from Genesis, this promise of a seed is spoken of to Abraham. The promises were made to and to his seed. And it went through Abraham and then his son Isaac and Jacob and the seed. And then it came to David. David was a king of Israel. All these ones, God worked through the Jewish people, the Israelites, right through, and Jesus was born to be king over Israel, king of the Jews. But he did not fulfill that at his first coming. He used to do that at his second coming. But anyway, so we'll get on with some of the life and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said here. But to gain an overview of the life, it's probably necessary. You really need to read one of the gospel records yourself to get a clear picture. There's Matthew or Mark or Luke. And John is a bit more thematic. It's study. It concentrates on selected events rather than a detailed life as it follows through. But some of the main features of Jesus' life was his baptism. We have little detail of the period of Jesus' life from his birth, though we do have a couple of times when he did go up to Jerusalem with his parents to the Passover when he's about 12 or 13 and got lost and things like that, and they found him talking and asking hard questions to the scribes and Pharisees and the priests and that in the temple. But then he was lost for a while, and then he turned up again. Parents had to come back to Jerusalem to find him. They're a wee bit upset. Obviously, you would if you lost your child for a while. But then his time was drawing near to the age of 30, and his baptism introduces us also to the work of John the Baptist. And then after he was baptized, Jesus was led by the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, into the wilderness. And Matthew notes that it was not Satan that led him. Satan is just another word. It's a Hebrew word for adversary. Led him into the wilderness. But the Spirit, the lesson on Satan and the devil lays in the foundations of understand this. And you could log on to www.findthelight. We'll give you the true understandings and meanings of Satan and the devil. Not a supernatural. The adversary or Satan who came to him challenged whether he was the Son of God. The religious leaders of his day were actually the Satans, weren't they? They really challenged him, was he the Son of God? But these people would not accept that Jesus was the Son of God. They would not have a bar of it, and this is what brought about his crucifixion. We must remember that Jesus, though he had the same nature as all mankind, he was born of a woman, even though God was his father. He was born of a woman. And because of this, he could identify with our weaknesses, the trials and feelings which are common to us all. There's a wee point there. I could read just a couple of verses in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. Where the Apostle Paul, we feel, wrote this in telling the Hebrews, that's the Jewish people. He says there, for we have a high priest now, you know, because Jesus is in heaven with God on his right hand, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, not now, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He did no sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. We are subject to sin and death, friends. That is their lot from the punishment that was brought on Adam and Eve, not a directly related punishment in that way, but it was a punishment that was put on all mankind. We all inherit that, more than I should say, a punishment. We all inherit that way of sin and death. And there's only one way out of it. There's only one way out of it. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to overcome that, and therefore is our intercessor, our mediator between ourselves and God. And he's coming back to reward those faithful ones with eternal life and a place in that kingdom on this earth. See, we've got here about his sacrifice, also Paul says to the Hebrews, he says there, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, originally the law of Moses that the Jewish people were under, they used to have sacrifices. But Paul also tells them there that all things are of the law purged with blood, yet without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. But these other things that they did, their sacrifices, they couldn't take away sin. It had to be the Lord Jesus, a person of our stock, and the Lord God overshadowed, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she brought forth this child, the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet spoke of it, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and they'd call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Luke speaks about that to Mary in Luke chapter 1. I'll just read a couple of verses there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel said to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob," or Israel, "for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That's what he was promised, friends. But he went away, didn't he? He came and introduced himself. He paid the price of that we bear, of sin. He took our sins and sort of put them on the cross. In a sense, Paul refers to it. Even though we still sin, but we have to relate our forgiveness and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ and his obedience. The positive lesson we learn from his temptation is that he overcame by turning to the Word of God, saying, "It is written." Thus he overcame these temptations, and by a constant recourse to the Word of God, he upholding John's teaching from Isaiah 40. The preaching of Jesus commences. He has opened public meetings, preaching of Jesus, fully commenced after John was put in prison. And this was months, not many months, it was many months after Jesus' baptism. But his preaching really started then. Remember what happened to poor John? He was beheaded. We won't go into all those details just now, otherwise it'll get us onto another tangent. But the main theme of his preaching is summarized in his discourse on the Mount. I'm reading through Matthew chapter 5 to 8. These chapters, you see the wonders of his teaching as he shows how disciples had to live a life after the example of God's ways. They had to be forgiving. They had to be understanding. They had to realize that they were sinners, and therefore they should understand other people's problems and not. He talked a lot about the judgment on people. Or get the mote out of your own eye. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward. For so persecuted that the prophets which were before you. See, the lesson is that he's teaching them to let their light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Quite a lot in in these chapters here. Loving one another, obeying parents, judge not, kind to those. But also one of the main things he says is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other little things in life will come to you. They'll be added unto you. Many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But they're coming from the east and the west. The kingdom of heaven, friends, is the kingdom of God. There's a heavenly kingdom, but don't be mistaken, it is on earth. Remember I read before, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of his father David. David sat on the throne in Jerusalem over Israel. On reading through these chapters, we'll see the wonders and teachings as he shows his disciples how to live a life after the example of God. It is this discourse that Jesus introduces the aspect of God as a father to his disciples. He also gives the Lord's Prayer as a pattern to teach his disciples how to pray. And this is interesting how he says this in this teaching how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, that's how we've got to treat other people, as they would treat us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's showing us that we're all subject of doing things that are wrong. We need forgiveness, and therefore we should realize that Jesus is the medium that we come through to God, and therefore it is only right that we, when we're offended or something from someone else, we should understand that we probably have offended too, and we need forgiveness. In his teaching, he keeps a deeper spiritual significance of the law of Moses. Remember what the law said? Thou shalt not kill. But Jesus shows that if we love our neighbor, we will not even be angry with him. Likewise, the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus shows that even hidden lusts are contrary to the spirit of that law. He summarizes the spirit of the law and the prophets in these words, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. The gospel which Jesus preached. The main theme of Jesus' message is termed the gospel. The word means good news or glad tidings. But there's two aspects of this gospel, and we can find that in Acts chapter. I want to look at Acts chapter 8, because these people, when Paul was teaching, they had to understand certain things. And as we look at it, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. You'll notice it. But the first thing is the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke of the kingdom which God had foretold would come. In Luke 8, he went out and preached the gospel. In Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings, will the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed? Remember this. This is this giant image. That is the kingdoms of men. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes and smites it on the foot and it collapses and he sets up the kingdom. Revelations 11:15, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and he shall reign forever and ever. This is why he told his disciples to pray for it. He also explained aspects of this kingdom in many of his parables. He had to go away before he come again. But the other aspect of the preaching of the gospel, is that salvation from sin and death through the name of Jesus. This other important aspect of a message was very personal, for it related to the way that an individual might receive the truth and salvation through Jesus. This is by baptism. It is by baptism, Mark says, but it's also by grace, and it's also by a belief and a conviction to follow in that way of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking him on as our Saviour and thinking upon it deeply. That we relate to God through Jesus. We see his example before us. We see the life he led on earth here as God with us, as his name Emmanuel was. But the word, when he was here, though, he sent out apostles, and he had also disciples following him. Disciples is a word that comes from the Greek word, which indicates one that learns from a teacher. Learning, you know, a disciple is a follower. Jesus had many disciples. Today, we would be classed as his disciples because we're followers of Jesus, carefully reading of his life and striving to put into practice his teachings and examples. The word apostle, however, means a little bit different. It is one as sent. Jesus selected from his disciples 12 men, whom he called apostles, for he sent them forth for a particular work associated with preaching the gospel. Their selection and names are recorded in Luke 6 and Matthew 10. The Greek word apostello occurs where Jesus sent forth the 12. So they went forth to preach certain things, and we must remember, friends, that these things that they taught was something that we have to really latch onto, because they put their life on the line. In fact, their life was on the line. Most of them were martyred for their effort and for their cause. Did no harm, just for what they were dogmatic and teaching and pushing forward, because they said, Peter and John said there in Acts chapter 4, we cannot but preach the things that we've seen and heard. In the gospel records, both these terms occur, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. However, by comparing the records, we note that the expression relates both to the kingdom that will be set on earth when Christ returns. An example is seen by comparing Matthew 8 and Luke 13. You might want to write these down. I haven't got time to go through them, really. It's here we are told that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. Does the same kingdom referred to in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven"? The kingdom is to be set up on earth is a heavenly kingdom, for it is God's kingdom. When the meek shall inherit the earth, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:5. They will do with such people as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these older patriarchs of the Jewish race that were brought out and given precious promises concerning a land, concerning that seed that would come. Because we've got many evidence and quotations through the scriptures that point through to this special one that was coming. In 2 Samuel 7, it's spoken of. He would come. And in the New Testament, we have him coming, born of the virgin, exactly as the prophets spoke of him. In Isaiah 5, Isaiah 9, they all talk about his position to be. And we know that Jesus Christ will soon return to this earth, set up that glorious kingdom. I'll just read you that one in Hebrews, in the book of Revelations. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelations 11:15. Jeremiah 3:17, it says, "And he shall be king over all the earth." Marvelous. We need a divine ruler. But not only does a story there to justify that, but it's a word of God tells us that. And this word of God has been around a long time. I really think when Jesus was preaching and teaching things concerning the kingdom of God, He didn't have the New Testament scriptures. He was being noted for those by the apostles, but he was preaching out of the Old Testament, the same testament that we need to look at today for the finer tuning of that kingdom to come through Israel to set up in Jerusalem at that marvelous temple that Ezekiel the prophet speaks of that's going to be built on Mount Zion, about a mile square. Marvelous thing. It's going to be a house of prayer for all nations, for all people. Mankind is he gets things up mixed up with racism and hatred and envy and all those human traits. Really, they are all human traits. We all probably can feel a wee bit of that from time to time. But when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we've got to bury those things and we've got to concentrate on them. Realize that He was tempted in all points as us. We did but with no sin. So we've got to aspire to follow in His footsteps. Even though we don't from time to time, we can't. But we've got to keep our hearts intending to do the best there. A sign that God was working with Jesus is the healing that He did. The remarkable signs testified that God had sent Him, showed that He was the Messiah or Christ foretold in the prophets. The Hebrew word Messiah and the Greek word Christ, they both mean anointed. And Jesus was... Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit that He might perform these miracles while preaching the gospel. In Isaiah 61, verse 1 and Matthew 11. There's lots of scriptures. Isaiah 42, 1 to 3. These works bore witness of the fact that He was sent of God. Acts 2, 22. Acts the Apostles are wonderful at that, really. They go through and outline the history of the Jewish people coming through to Jesus and showing the Jewish people that it was not only the Romans, but it was them that crucified their Messiah, their King. A sign that sin and death can be removed through Him. Sickness, disease, and death have come upon mankind through the sin of Adam and Eve. We all die and return to the dust, don't we? Jesus had compassion on those who were suffering, for He also was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, as I read in Hebrews 4:15. His healing of sickness and death by the power of God testified that He was sent to deliver man from the root cause of his problem, sin, and we're all subject to it. Consider the miracle of healing the man with palsy. Through Jesus' sinless life, the perfect obedience to God, even unto death, but God raised Him again. The Savior of mankind. Through Him we have the hope of a resurrection from the grave and deliverance from mortality and corruption. We need to deal with perhaps that subject sometime, but you could find out more about the resurrection, because that's the big thing that Paul speaks of. And Paul was testified in Acts 23, 24, 25 and those chapters around there for the resurrection he was in judged for. He taught that. So the miracle of healing taught this wonderful lesson too. The parables of Jesus. Why did He do this? The reason is given as an explanation of the parable of the sower. Remember, the sower? It was the word of God. And it went out. And individuals fall into four categories. They're classed as the hard wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. How they took on that gospel message, the word of God. A parable is a story with a deeper spiritual meaning. That is to be drawn from a simple of details. Parables were used to separate between genuine disciples and those who were drawn to Jesus purely by an outward show of the miracles. But the prophets foretold that Jesus would use this method of teaching, and therefore as to prove who He was. The four kinds of grounds that I just spoke of, they represent four different types of people who hear the gospel. The lesson of this parable is powerful and it's pointed, and how true it is that as the thorns and thistles choke that growing seed, so riches and the care for things of this life can choke those who are not fully motivated by faith and love. Only the good ground responds to bring forth fruit. We need to seriously approach the reading of the Word of God. Let it grow, grow in good soil in our minds. Chew it over. chew that word over, contemplate it, meditate upon it, pray about it, compare scripture with scripture, so that our lives may be molded and we may bring forth fruit to God's glory. It's that gospel message is the key. I've heard many people trying to have emotional feeling about some of the spirit gifts around. They think they're around today, whereas they're not around today. Find more on the spirit gifts, whether they're available or not, on www.findthelight.org. Tells you all about those too. We've got it. We live by faith today, friends. And that is what it is. Faith comes through hearing the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The nobleman going into a far country is another parable. It's a story, is simple on the surface, but the lesson is important. Disciples expected the kingdom to be set up when they came to Jerusalem with Jesus. They did not understand at that time that Jesus would be crucified, then go to heaven for a long period before returning to set up the kingdom. The parable was given so that his disciples might come to appreciate this. The Lord Jesus Christ will soon return to this earth, friends. We need to follow the example of the faithful servants who toiled diligently in the Lord's vineyard while he was away. If we follow this example, then we too will receive, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of God." So friends, time's run out again on us. Gee, it seems to whip through here pretty quick. But do contact us and ask some questions and log on to some of those other aspects of the truth that we realize and understand that is essential to find out those things concerning that gospel, www.findthelight.org. All right, this is Calvin Lyon saying, keep studying, keep reading that word, because it's the word of God that we must attend to. Thank you very much. None.
This program was first broadcast on Tauroa Radio 1575 and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.